This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Thursday, December 9th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we continue to count down the remaining players that were added to the Guardians 40-man roster back on November 20th. A lot of them are top prospects in the organization. We've already talked about Tyler Freeman and George Valera. Today we arrive at former number one overall prospect for Cleveland, Nolan Jones. Jones, of course, held that top spot for a season or two after one of his good friends, Tristan McKenzie. He was at the alternate site camp throughout the 2020 season after spending time at spring training part two in Cleveland. But in 2021, his season really never materialized, and he wound up missing a lot of time with an ankle injury.
Yeah, Joe, and that ankle injury ended his season in September. And, later that month, he had surgery on the left ankle. It was a high ankle sprain. And he is, they think he'll be ready in spring training. But, the recovery time was put between three months and 5 months. So we'll have to see how that works out for Nolan.
Prior to the injury, he was at AAA. He was in a regular rotation playing a little bit, but, not necessarily putting up the outstanding numbers that he had at pretty much every other level of the minor leagues up until that point.
Yeah, this is an interesting, kind of first year at full year at AAA, first year ever at AAA, I should say, 238. Only had 341 at bats, 25 doubles, which, that's not bad. 13 home runs, that shows some emerging power. The thing with Nolan, with Jones, though, is 122 strikeouts and it was 341 at bats, Joe. 36% strikeout rate. That's a lot of swing and miss right there for, a top prospect.
And for a guy who up until that point, his calling card was, his eye at the plate, his ability to draw walks and get on base along with that power. We also saw that his numbers against left-handed pitching dipped, I believe the 167 batting average with against left-handed pitching. So that causes you to maybe worry, because as we'll get into here in a minute, if they're going to transition him to an outfield role, that makes you a platoon guy and not an everyday player.
Yeah, definitely. And, I think this is, they drafted him out of high school. That was his fifth minor league season. So, the high school thing is, I think you can't use that as a crutch anymore. This is, he's 23 years old. He should be showing some progress. I think you're going to have patience with him because he's a high round pick. You paid a lot of money for him for a signing bonus, and he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. But eventually, they didn't draft Nolan Jones to be a platoon guy.
No, and that's certainly the case. You mentioned the money that they paid him. He was a He was the second round pick in that 2016 draft that's already yielded so many, you know, so much major league talent on the pitching side of things. The first two picks in that draft were Will Benson and Nolan Jones, and neither one of those guys has made an impact yet. Both chosen out of high school. Jones was paid, what, $2.3 million in signing bonus money? I mean, that's first-round pick money right there. They've demonstrated, yes, that they're going to be patient, but just how much did the pandemic season really sort of derail any momentum that this kid had going for him at the time? Because, you know, it was a conversation what they were going to do with Jose Ramirez at that spot if Nolan Jones was coming at third base.
Yeah, that's a great point. Not losing that 2020 season, you know, obviously was at the alternate site, but, you know, that was a plus, I guess, in the fact that, you know, he was playing baseball, but it wasn't like actual games. It wasn't a season. It wasn't, 142 games or whatever, how many they would have played in the minors that year. It wasn't real development. It was kind of like that forced kind of development. And, some guys benefited from it. And I think some guys, the repetition kind of got to them a little bit.
Yeah. And it's all about that sort of prospect momentum. We've talked to Nolan Jones. We've talked to Tristan McKenzie about how they go back and forth, calling each other number one when they were, each ranked as the top prospect in the organization. And I recall when McKenzie made his debut in the 2020 season, Jones wasn't allowed in the ballpark. He was at the East Lake site. So he would camp out on the roof of the parking garage across the way there at Progressive Field and watch the games from the parking garage roof. A couple of times he was spotted up there to support his buddy, to support his friend. I mean, it's pretty cool. And it sort of gives you an indication where Nolan Jones is, personality wise and approach to the game wise.
Yeah. Character that's really supporting a teammate when I think him and his girlfriend were up on the top level of the parking garage watching Tristan make his debut against the Tigers. So that was kind of cool. And, it just shows you, if you're drafting that high, if you draft a player that high, a kid that high, you want to make sure that he can not only has the tools to, be a, to succeed on the field, but that he's like character wise and that he can get along in the clubhouse, that he's going to be, a good teammate as well.
Right. This is a kid who played in the Futures game. He's played in the Arizona Fall League. He's, hit all of the benchmarks up until, that COVID season sort of derailed everything. Now dealing with an injury and coming back from that, we've talked to him on Zoom on a couple of occasions. Like we said, we saw him hit a couple of home runs in that spring training two session back in 2020 at Progressive Field. What's your take on what he can do in terms of, what he can provide Cleveland's lineup?
Well, I think he's an interesting guy, 6'4", 195 pounds. So, the frame is there. Left-handed hitter, like you pointed out. He's got some power. I would think, the power will develop, as he gets older and, really kind of gets some confidence. I think probably confidence is a big thing with him right now, Joe. Just, he's got to get – I think it would be great if this – he goes to spring training, has a good camp in 2022, and then really kind of settles in at AAA, has a good first half or a good three-fourths of the season, comes up and kind of just gets his big league career started. I think that's probably, the best case scenario for Nolan right now.
So the million-dollar question and the question that, that comes to mind right now is, you've got Jose Ramirez there at third base. He's not going anywhere. Where does Nolan Jones make his major league debut? Where does he find a spot in this lineup? You also got to figure, even if they want to bring him up and maybe move a DH around and pop them in there once in a while. You've got Bobby Bradley and other people who are in those spots as well. He's worked out, last season in spring training, last season during the year, he played, a couple of games in the outfield for Columbus. Is he a corner outfielder on this major league squad?
Yeah. You know, that's the thing that surprised me, Joe, from talking to the Indians front office and Terry Francona and, Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff, it really sounded like he was going to, Nolan Jones was going to go to Columbus and really, really get tested in the outfield and in spring training, last spring training. But we never really saw that in spring training at Triple A last season. He made 25 starts in right field, but he spent the majority of his time, 65 starts, at third base. So, you just don't, he's played the majority of his minor league career at third base. So what is he? And is he, are you just going to hold on to this guy until you run out of time with Ramirez and then he's your third baseman? Or when does he make the transition here?
I mean, right there, you just said 65 starts at third base when they said they were going to play him more in the outfield. Maybe the tail wags the dog here. Maybe that's the indication is you don't want him to lose that sharpness at third base because maybe you know that you're going to do something with Jose Ramirez that you haven't given an indication about. I think that would be totally disastrous if it happened this year. But at some point, I've got to believe that Nolan Jones comes up and makes his major league debut in 2022 with Cleveland. There's no way that he spends the entire season at AAA barring injury.
Yeah. I think, the normal progression is yes, but, I think we could have said the same thing about Will Benson too. The normal progression would be yes. Just another physical specimen, 6'5", 225, 30 pounds. Just he looks like a ball player and we haven't seen that progress. He had a decent power season this past season in the minors. But still, he's a guy that you want to see jump up there.
I think maybe you can take Will Benson and look at him and say, okay, well, not everybody progresses at the same, benchmarks. Maybe he did need a little more time to mature and develop there. And that last season at Double A at Akron, he really did sort of cash in on the promise that made him a first round pick. He might never be, like you said, an everyday player. You don't draft a guy number one to be a platoon guy, but maybe the best you're going to get out of Will Benson is that. I think enough people have seen enough of Nolan Jones to know that he's not going to be that and that he's got more potential for that. So, we're sort of anxious and rushing to get him to the majors, but right now you've got a guy who's doing the job at third base and he's not going anywhere. At least this season and with any luck, maybe they extend him beyond that. It 65 games for Nolan Jones at third base sort of throws up a red flag in terms of what are their real intentions with Jose Ramirez. And that would lead me to believe, they kind of know something that we don't. And that's, at the end of this, these two option years on Ramirez's contract, that might be all she wrote.
Yeah, and Nolan Jones still has two options left, Joe. So, they still have some flexibility with him. This coming season is going to be a big one for him. And hopefully, that ankle injury doesn't linger. He gets his rehab done and he's ready to, hit the ground running, so to speak.
Yeah, I think if there was one thing that you needed to point out and say, what does Nolan Jones need to do in 2022? That big thing would be get himself physically ready and be ready when camp opens to go in there and compete. You're not going to knock off Jose Ramirez at third base. You're probably not going to outright win a job in right field or left field, but you're going to leave an impression on Tito and the coaches that says, okay, we've got a viable option at starting the season at AAA. Maybe he pulls like what Oscar Mercado did during Mercado's rookie season where, he hit through spring training. He went to AAA and started the year at AAA and just kept hitting and kept hitting. And then they had to bring him along.
Yeah, you know, that would be a great case. That would be the best case scenario for the Indians and Nolan Jones to, you know, have a good spring, you know, get his feet under him in spring training, go down to Columbus and, you know, start well and play well and hit his way back to the big leagues. Because I think, you know, he runs the bases well, Joe. He stole 10 bases in 12 attempts last season. So he's got speed. You know, he's just got a hit. He's got a hit. And he, you know, he's going to have to show some power and, you know, a decent average. So, you know, it's easier said than done, but I think that's what they're waiting on.
He's a former hockey player who played shortstop in high school. So, you know, he's got athleticism, you know, he's got a lot of good skill and hand-eye coordination. And I just think we're anxious to see him make his debut because, you know, we've been hearing enough about him for the last few seasons. You know, this is a guy who he was the number one prospect, and now he's the number three prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. Does that sort of, you know, factor in or weigh in or mess with the guy's, you know, approach maybe as he's going? He's like, well, they thought this about me for so long, and now they don't think as much.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think it affects different players differently. You know, guys like Francisco Lindor were kind of obsessed with where he stood on the prospect list, you know, and, you know, was always measuring himself against other players from other teams. You know, if they got to the big leagues ahead of him, you know, that kind of bothered him. That kind of drove him. And, you know, I don't know what kind of guy Jones is. I've never really talked to him in depth. I don't know if, you know, the rankings bother him at all, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, all he has to do is pick up the phone and call either, you know, James Harris or somebody to, you know, just out find out where he stands, or Chris Antonetti or Mike Chernoff. And I mean, they're pretty honest with these guys. And, you know, when you have those one-on-one spring training meetings with Tito and Antonetti and Chernoff, I don't think they pull too many punches, you know, and so you know where you stand, you know, at the when spring training starts and when it ends. So, you know, hopefully, you know, that's enough for Nolan, and you know, that gives him the confidence he needs to, you know, have a, you know, just get his career started and keep it rolling and get to the big leagues.
Yeah, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on what happens to him in spring training, what happens to him at the start of the minor league season, and as he progresses. You know, maybe we get a surprise there at some point in May. You know, depending on what happens with these CBA negotiations, maybe the whole idea of manipulating service time might not even exist anymore by the time we get to the 2022 season. And, you know, that might help us, you know, see Nolan Jones sooner rather than later, because otherwise you might want to the club might want to hold off until at some point in late May to bring him up.
Yeah, definitely, because what, the minor league guys can still play. Now, are the 40, everybody on the 40-man, are they, you know, locked out, right? So even if, yeah. Well, even if there's a minor league season, they can't play, right?
Let me put it to you this way. If you go on Major League MLB Pipeline right now and you look at the list of Guardians top 30 prospects, every player that's on the 40-man roster is a blank avatar with the gray face, and every other player on that top 30 has a photo of his face. So yeah, the prospects who are on the 40-man roster are officially locked out of the of the facility, which is unfortunate, because if Jones is out there in Arizona trying to get you know, rehab done on his ankle and all that, we hope that doesn't. And I believe that there are provisions in there where if it's something medical where they're able to get, like, you know, not necessarily the workout facilities, but they're at least able to get guidance about their health and their progress in terms of returning from injury, because, you know, certainly these teams don't want to damage any of their investments in that regard.
Yeah, there's a part of the I think basic agreement, or you know, there's a rule that says, you know, if a player gets injured while playing a game for his team, you know, and now there's a lockout, or the team can't treat them, you know, one-on-one, but they can recommend the people that their players can go to and get treated. So, you know, they still have some control over that.
Well, as long as he's not getting his physical therapy from a guy in a taco truck, that's, you know, fine by me. I can see the complete sense in that. All right, Hoynsie, we will be back to wrap things up for the week on Friday with a look at another prospect on the Indians 40-man roster. And we'll talk to you then on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.